values the Lord's church very much. In fact, he would do anything for you. He would help anybody out. Does a lot in the Lord's church. In fact, he does a lot with the youth. Always looking for ways to teach people the gospel. Always looking for people that might want to hear it. We'll call him Luke in this story. I remember I was sitting there at Mars Hill Bible School in chapel. And at this particular day in chapel, Luke was going to speak to us. Now, when Luke came and spoke in chapel, everybody liked it. Everybody liked it because Luke was a little bit of a screamer. But it wasn't the type of scream that just really grabs your attention. It was the type of scream that was just funny. He turned red when he did it, and everybody thought it was hilarious, and they would laugh at him. He was always real energetic when he came in to speak. Well, I remember on this day, we're sitting there in chapel, and, you know, the people that want to sleep through chapel, man, they're slumped over, getting a little nap before lunch, and Luke comes in, and his whole demeanor, it's not like he usually is. He's not jumpy. He's not happy. He stands up, and he says, "Guys, I need to confess something to you." Well, now everybody that was slouched over is now sitting straight up in their chairs because they want to know what Luke needs to confess. And he says, "Been playing a video game on my phone. Download the app called Clash of Clans." He said, "I don't know if you know anything about Clash of Clans," but he said, "Basically, here's what you got. So you get to build your own little village, and you try to go raid people's village, and it gives you resources to build up your village. But," he said, "you only get so much of the resources each day to build up your village, so you got to wait till the next day to do it." He said, "Guys, I started thinking about it a whole lot. I mean, my village was looking great." He said, "But I started to notice it was taking an awful lot of time for me to build up my village because I had to wait the next day to get the resources." So he said, "I found myself on my phone on a screen that said I could put my credit card information in and I could pay for them to give me resources and I could just build up my village." Now we're all like, "Okay, what's this got to do?" He said, "I did. I put my credit card information in, paid $5. They gave me resources." He said, "It made my village look all right." See, a couple days went by. He said, "Guys, I went back to it a couple days later. Thought my village needed to get better." He said, "I didn't pay $5 this time. I paid $25. $25 on my credit card so I could get some resources." He said, "My village was rocking at this point. It really was." He said, "But that's not it." He said, "A couple of days went by. All he could think about was his village, how it was doing." He said, "It literally was dominating his thoughts." He said, "I went back a couple of days later." He said, "I didn't pay $25. Didn't do it." He said, "I paid 50. I paid $50, and they gave me 10 times the resources, and my village at this point was just awesome." He said, "At that point, I deleted the app." He said, "I got rid of it." He said, "Because I thought to myself, okay, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I've already paid $75 for resources that aren't even real. I got to stop." He said, "But I didn't." He said, "I got to thinking about it some more, was wondering how my village was doing, was wondering how it would be like if I could build it up a little bit." And he said, "Guys, I got back on it." He said, "I didn't pay $50 this time. I paid $100. He said, "I charged my credit card $100 to build up my village." He said, "I couldn't stop." He said, "When I was at home with my kids, all I could think about was Clash of Clans. All I could think about was my village." He said, "While I was at church and I was getting ready to do a Bible study with some kids, all I could think about was, man, what is my village up to right now?" He said, "I could not get it out of my mind." You know, I got a dollar right here. This dollar, it smells a little funky. It doesn't smell great. It doesn't feel like your crisp dollar bill. Usually it's been worn out. In fact, there's probably so many germs on it, I probably don't even want to touch it. This dollar. Is this dollar a bad thing? Is it? You know what I could do with this dollar? I could leave Estes tonight. I could go down to the gas station and get one of my just my favorite candy bar in the entire world. I could do it. I could walk in a gas station. I could go to a candy aisle. I could get me an Almond Joy. I could walk up. I could hand the lady a dollar. She's going to hand me my Almond Joy, and I'm going to be happy. Man, I like the dollar when it's getting me an Almond Joy. Is it bad to like the dollar? Not bad. Not bad at all. What about if this is money as a whole? Is it bad to think about money as a whole? No. Is it bad to like money as a whole? No. When does money become a bad thing? Well, when did the video game become a bad thing for Luke? When all Luke could think about in his mind throughout his day when he was in church, all he could think about was the game. So money becomes bad when all you can think about is money and you love it. Now, generally speaking, when you get assigned a topic like materialism, you're going to hear a lot about money. Guys are going to stand up and tell you, guys, the Lord has richly blessed you. And He has. And He's given you money. And hey, you need to be generous, liberal givers. Give your money back. Really look how you spend your money. And that's great. But if we could somehow take the topic of materialism, put it on the stove in a pot, boil it down to its bare essence, are you going to get money when you go back and check it? No. No, you're not. Materialism is thinking about the physical, material things in this life more than you think about the spiritual things. Now let's hash that out again. Materialism, at its bare essence, is thinking about the physical, material things in this life more than you think about the spiritual things. Is it bad to think about material things? No, it's not bad to think about material things. It's not bad to think about the dollar. When's it become bad? Well, let's see. Materialism is when you think about the physical material things in this life, now watch it, more than you think about the spiritual things. For some reason, materialism is when you put more weight on the physical than you do the spiritual. You emphasize it in your life more than you do the spiritual. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn over there to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to look there in verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. You remember Jesus. He's just got done blessing the little children, and here's where you pick up. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus, like I said, just got done blessing the little children. He's out on a road, and this rich young Jewish boy, he's running to Jesus. He kneels down before him, and what's he say? Oh, he said, hey, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Is that a fair question, a good question? Yeah, you think he's thinking about something spiritual at that moment? Yeah, it's a great question. In fact, if you're any type of bit religious at all and you believe that there's another life after this life, you want to know the answer to this question. But you remember, you keep reading the story, and Jesus, it kind of takes a turn because he doesn't stop right then and say, well, here's what you need to do. That's not what he does. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. Hey, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Okay, hold on just a second. You need to understand there is no one good but God. Okay, what's he saying? Hey, you don't even need to think I'm anything close to being God's son. I'm not. I'm not the Lord. I'm not anywhere close. Is that what Jesus is saying? Is he saying I am not God? It's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, look, there's something you need to understand. If you're going to call me good teacher, and there's no one good but God, when you call me good, guess who you're equating me with? God. Now you want to know what you need to do to get to heaven? I mean, it's real easy. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth. Rich young girl, I mean, I don't really know why you're even asking me the question. I mean, look, you really know what you need to do. Keep the commandments. Honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't defraud your brother, etc. Great. Yes. I mean, look, this is the greatest day ever. I mean, oh, Jesus, man, you really brought me. Oh, man, I tell you what, greatest day. Now I know that I can inherit eternal life. It's not how the story goes, is it? Because your Bible says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said what? One thing you lack. Now, don't miss that point here. One thing you lack what? What was the question he asked him? Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, there's one thing you lack. So if you don't get this right, guess what you're not getting? Eternal life. One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. Hey, look, Rich and Riley, you are doing great. You're doing real good. In fact, you've been keeping those commandments since you were young. But you know what? There's one thing you lack that if you don't get right, you're not going to heaven. You need to go sell what you have. You need to give it to the poor. You need to take up your cross and come follow me. He doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. You look down, it says, and he went away sorrowfully. For why? For he had great possessions. Oh, he was thinking about something spiritual. He came to Jesus with a spiritual thought. But when his physical things got brought into the equation, guess what he stopped thinking about? Stopped thinking about the spiritual. Now, you know what we would like to think, don't you? Chase, I mean, I see where you're going with this. Okay, let me stop you right here. Okay, if Jesus Christ himself came to me and said, hey, Chase, there's one thing you'd like. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to do it. Really? Really, you going to do it? Yeah, I'm telling you I would do it. If it was just my material possessions keeping me from inheriting eternal life, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to sell my stuff. Really? Really? You know, I've tried to make the point. When you get up and speak on materialism, it just doesn't have to be all about money. But your money does play a part in materialism. Let's talk about your money for a second. I want you to think about right now all the possessions that you own. In fact, let's start when you leave Estes Church of Christ. You're going to sit around. You're probably going to talk to some people, maybe laugh, tell about your grandkids, tell about your kid, do something. Then you're going, what? Well, eventually you're going to go and you're going to go to the parking lot. You're going to take those keys out of your pocket. You're going to unlock your car and you're going to get in it, aren't you? You like your car? Yeah, I like my car. Is your car good? Well, it's good enough to get you from Estes Church of Christ to your house. You a little hot? Oh, you know what you do if you're a little hot? You just reach over and click that little button. It's going to blow cold air on you. Does that feel good? Yeah, it feels good. No, oh, now you're going to get in your car, you're going to drive home to your, that big old giant box-looking thing that you own that has all your possessions at your house. You like your house? Yeah, nothing wrong with liking your house. And you're going to go in your house and you're going to start thinking about what? Oh, yeah, you're going to start thinking about bed, don't you? Oh, man, it's looking good, isn't it? Because you had a hard day, but before bed, you just think, man, I got 10 minutes. I'll just go in the living room and I'll get my two magnifying glasses that I keep on the edge of my... Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. My lazy boy. Man, they don't call them lazy boys for nothing. You sit down, you don't want to do anything, and, man, you're going to grab your little two magnifying glasses and look at that little box that's on the stand because you can't see it, so you're going to have your magnifying glasses to blow it up. No, that's not what you're going to do, are you? No, you're going to pop down in your lazy boy, and you're going to watch your television that I would probably say you can see without two magnifying glasses. You like it? Oh, then you're going to go home, and after you get home and you sit in your lazy boy and you look at your TV, oh, now it's bedtime. Now we can start thinking about the bed. You know, I like my bed. I like it a lot. When I get to go home from free, man, I love it because I get to go home. I don't have to sleep in a twin-size bed when I wake up with my head cocked back on the dresser because it's right next to my bed. Man, I can go home, get in my queen-size bed. Oh, I mean, just sprawl out. It feels great. Anything wrong with that? Not yet. Now let's think about when you come to Estes Church of Christ on a Sunday morning. You're here on a Sunday morning. You come in, you sing a couple songs, you got your prayer, your scripture reading. Oh, they pass out the bread, you take of the bread, you drink of the cup, you remember the Lord's Supper. And now it comes time to what? Oh, now it comes time to give. Now you just thought about all your material possessions that you like. When you write out that check, well, how much is on that check that you write? Is it good? What about, now you're not writing a check, what about the money you come pull out of your wallet? Is that a good amount? What about the people that know you very well? know what you have, know what you have at home, know what you drive. They think you're pretty well off, you're doing great. If they looked at the amount that you have written on your check or you pull out of your wallet, would they look at you and say, you know what, I aspire to be like that person. It really looks like they value the spiritual in their life more than the physical. I don't know how much you give. I don't. I know some people in the Lord's church that are very, very well off. Drive cars that I don't even want to begin to think about how much money they cost. And when they come in on a Sunday morning, you know how much they write on that check? $75. $75. Now, what does that say about them? Does that say, you know what, I hold the spiritual in my life higher than I hold the physical? Does it? Oh, you know, we've been talking about money. And, you know, as a college kid, I mean, if you thought you had any type of money, I mean, it's been put back into the school that's giving you education. So, I mean, you really don't have to worry about money. Do you not have to worry about being materialistic because you're in college? Is that how it works? Do you just think, okay, yeah, at the end of my life, you know, when I start making some money, man, then I'll need to go and start thinking about materialism. But as far as it pertains to me right now, it really doesn't matter. Is that right? Let's take our definition of materialism. Materialism is when you think about the physical material things in this life more than you think about the spiritual. Let me ask you something. When you came to Freed Harmon and you decided what you were going to do for the rest of your life, why'd you choose that? I was talking to a guy right before we left high school. He said, Chase, I figured out what I was going to do. I said, really? That's great. What are you going to do? He said, well, I've decided I want to become a dentist. I said, a dentist? Really? I didn't really take you for a dentist. But okay, fine. He said, yeah, let me tell you why I picked it. I picked it because I figured when I go to school, there's a guy in Florence that owns a dentist shop, and he might be ready to retire at that point, and he'll give me the dentistry, and man, it'll be great. I said, that's great for you. He said, yeah, but let me tell you what that means. If I own the dentist place, man, I can take off whenever I want. I run my own schedule. It'll be great. I said, that's great. He said, yeah, and let me tell you this, they make a lot of money. I said, I know. When you decided what you were going to do with the rest of your life, what kind of questions did you ask? Did you ever think to yourself, yeah, you know, I think I want to go down this career path because I feel like there's people I could influence for the kingdom? Hey, I feel like I will be the best at this and I can show people that I work for the Lord. Did you give any spiritual thought to why you wanted to do what you were going to do? Oh, you know, especially at this time of year, don't you? Man, everybody slammed it free. I mean, if you don't have like 3 or 4 papers due in a project, I mean, something's really wrong with you. I mean, you just have it made in the shade, really. What do you do? Oh, you get out of that nice, cozy, warm, twin-size bed while your head is cocked back on that dresser because it's smudged up against it. You get out of bed at what? 8 o'clock? I mean, rough night. You had to study. Oh, you go jump in the shower, man, you soap up, you fly out of the shower, you throw that towel, you run over to your closet, you get dressed and sprint to your 8:30 class. You get there, you have another class at what, 9:30? Then you go to chapel? Oh, chapel sounds good, doesn't it? What you thinking about in chapel? You thinking about what you got to do to get your work done? You giving any spiritual thought there? Oh, now you got to go to Lion's Pride and eat, because if you don't eat, you just think you're going to die and you really can't skip lunch. Who would do that? So you go to LP and then, you got what, 1 or 2 more classes left? Then what, you get out of those 1 or 2 classes and now, oh yeah. Man, I got 4 papers due in the next, 4 days? Man, I really should get working on those papers. I really should. So you think to yourself, I tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to go back to my room. I'm going to load my laptop, my books, and my bag. I'm going to head to Loading Daniel. And when I get in there, man, I'm going to work all night long on this stuff. So you go and you get your backpack ready and you put that laptop in and your books and you head to Loading Daniel. And everybody knows you can't walk in that library without seeing somebody you know. And, oh, yeah, they want to have a 15-minute conversation with you, don't you? I mean, 15-minute conversation that you're going to have, you really don't need to. You need to get working on your stuff. You get done with that 15-minute conversation that you didn't need to have, and you work on your stuff, and now it's what? 11:30? Man, you want to get out before it closes, don't you? So you go back to your room, and man, I wonder what my roommate's been up to today. I wonder how their day's going. Hey, tell me about your day. And they tell you about their day for what, 45 minutes an hour? 12:30? 1 o'clock in the morning? You're tired. You lay down and you close your eyes, and I mean, you're just about asleep, and you just, oh, almost forgot to pray. Almost forgot to pray. And you shoot the Lord up your little prayer. And then you think to yourself, why you almost forgot to pray, I didn't even read my Bible once today. In fact, not only did you not read your Bible once today, you've been so busy. Your Bible, since you came back on Sunday or since you've been there, it's been sitting in the same spot, hadn't even been opened. You thinking more about the physical than the spiritual? You know, there's an idea. If you look there in Matthew chapter 6, and you start there in verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now who's doing the talking here? Oh, Jesus. He looks at you, he's telling you, do not, I'm telling you right now, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. You need to understand, you know you can go to your buddy's house and watch an Alabama game, and when you get there, you see on their TV is a 65-inch flat screen TV. Man, it looks good, doesn't it? Because at home, yours is 32-inch, and man, I really would like to have this at home so I can sit in my lazy boy and watch the Alabama games and wouldn't have to come over here. You know, you could think about all week buying a 65-inch flat screen TV. You could go buy it. You could mount it on your wall in the perfect position. And while you're gone to work, you know what somebody could do? Man, just kick your front door down, come straight in, grab that TV and take it. It's gone. You could spend your whole life watching your bank account grow, and at the end, guess what happens to the money? It's gone. Jesus says, do not. Don't do it. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, what's that consist of? What is laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven? I mean, what is all that consist of? I don't know. I don't know what all that consists of in a detailed way. Here's what I do know. It's better. It's better. It'll never get destroyed. Nobody will ever steal it from you. It's better. Jesus is telling you, quit putting so much emphasis on the spirit, you want the spiritual. Quit putting so much emphasis on the physical, material things in your life and start putting emphasis on the spiritual. Now, when it comes to materialism, there's an idea that we all need to understand. There's an idea we need to understand, and we need to understand it very well. It's found there in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, start there in verse 15. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. It's a good idea. We came into this world owning not a thing. Guess how we're going to leave the world? Not carrying a physical, material thing with us. It's not happening. You and I, now let's listen to this very closely. You and I, at the end of our lives, will not carry a physical thing with us. You know, we sometimes like to think, man, if I could just spend my whole life, man, just working up all these physical material objects in my house, man, when Jesus comes back, I'll go down to the rental shop, I'll get me a U-Haul, I'll strap it up to me, and when he comes, Jesus is taking me and the U-Haul with me, he'll deliver my stuff in heaven and I'll have it forever. It's not happening. No physical material thing is going with us in the end. Not happening. But we are taking one thing with us. It's just not material. We will take our eternal soul. What if we tonight, right now, everybody in the room, we could somehow hook some electrodes up to your head, we could stick it in some outlet back there to throw it up, blast it up on the screen up here, and we could rewind your thoughts that you've had in the last 2 days. And we could somehow map it out. Man, all right, physical thoughts over here, spiritual thoughts over here. What's it going to say about you? Now, don't misunderstand me. When I say materialism is thinking about the physical material things in this life more than the spiritual, I'm not saying you have to have in a day 13 hours of spiritual thought and 12 hours of material thought, and if you do that, man, you're looking pretty good. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you're at your desk and you're working away, and I mean you're really doing it, are you thinking about, man, I'm working away because I want to show my boss what I'm made of, and man, I really want to climb up the corporate ladder and make some money, and... Or do you give thought and say, you know why I'm working hard? I'm not working hard to impress anybody. I'm working hard because I'm a child of God, and whatever my hand finds to do, I do with all my mind as I'm working for the Lord and I'm not working for men. Oh, wasn't it Jesus? Wasn't it Jesus who said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? If he literally has anything that his mind can think of, he has the whole world at the end of his life, and he loses his own soul, what will it profit? Not one thing. Because at the end of your life, it's no longer about the physical. It's not about the material. At the end of your life, it's only about the spiritual. You had a problem with thinking about the physical way too much? Have you? Do you realize right now, you know what? I really do try to have spiritual thoughts, but you know, in the last couple days, I really can relate to, man, all I could really think about was physical things. All I was thinking about was school. I didn't give any thought to read my Bible. Man, while I was at work, I was slammed. I came home. I went to sleep, saw my kids. I still didn't read any of my Bible. What? You want to take care of that tonight? You know, you got two options. Two options. Same two options that the rich young ruler had. You can tonight know you have a problem with valuing the physical more than you do the spiritual, and you can walk out those double doors tonight a new person telling God, God, you know what? I am sorry that I have done this. I will do better in my life to put more value on the spiritual than the physical. You can do that. I mean, you can come up and ask people to pray for you, or you can sit right there and you and God can take care of it. Or, option number two, you can be just like the rich young ruler. You can realize you can have some spiritual thoughts in your life and you might be looking good, but when it comes to physical, material things, nah, it ain't happening. I'm not doing it. And you can walk out tonight the same way you came in. But know this. If you leave tonight knowing that you value the physical more than the spiritual, you need to know who it is you're walking away from. Same person the rich young ruler walked away from. Jesus Christ Himself. You ready to become a Christian? You ready to live the best life you could possibly live, a child of God? Knowing that, you know what? There's going to be some trials and struggles in my life, but I have the greatest God that's going to be right there beside my side, taking care of me. You ready to become a Christian through belief, confession, repentance, and being buried in water for the forgiveness of your sin? You need to respond to the Lord's invitation. I pray that you'll do so as we stand and as we sing.